Would you turn to Romans 12, please? Romans chapter 12. Thank you, my Lord. Oh, send your word into our spirits that we may grow strong. Separating our old man from the new. In the mighty name of Jesus. Romans chapter 12, of course, we've heard some of these verses over and over. But I believe God is bringing us to another level of understanding. Hallelujah. Would you read with me verses 1 and 2? I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service or your responsibility. It is our responsibility every single day to present our bodies to God. Not only just your body, but your spirit, soul, and body. In other words, you're to empty yourself. By emptying yourself, you're to come out from the natural reasoning and understanding and become like-minded. Is everybody with me? Let me tell you something. This is a lot deeper verse than what you and I have realized. But I'm telling you that God is beginning to expand His thoughts, because these are parts of His written thoughts that somebody wrote about when the voice of God was manifested on the earth. They heard about what God said. The Holy Spirit quickened them. The Holy Spirit wrote the word. He's the recorder of all things. Hello? He's the author of this Bible, because He impressed man to write, didn't He? Amen? So some of these scriptures you're going to find out in these last moments, because we are in the last days where the falling away is. We are in the falling away. Does everybody understand that? We have a wonderful teaching to call about the falling away and some other things that precede it. And the Holy Spirit is going to continue to quicken us in the areas and preparation, areas of the powers of darkness strategies. Because if you don't get understanding in areas of the powers of darkness strategy, He will always wipe you out. You must know your enemy. Now we must know who we are in Christ also, and who Christ is in us. Amen? So He says here, present yourselves, empty yourself, come out from the natural reasoning and understanding, and become like-minded. That's that first verse. Is everybody with me? Then He says in verse 2, and do not be conformed to this world. Now He's confirming His first verse. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Now, He says, if you empty yourself, you present yourself, you empty yourself, you become like-minded, you come out of the natural reason and natural understanding. Now what's going to happen is you're going to actually prove God's will. Now there's three levels of God's will. There's the good, the acceptable, and there is the what? Perfect. Now He says, don't be conformed to the world. What's being conformed to the world? By natural reasoning. Natural understanding. Hello? All things that come across, circumstances in your life. Are you going to react according to those circumstances as a natural man? Or are you going to react like-minded with Christ in everything that we do? And that's what God is trying to bring us into, that place where we no longer react, but we act. React means you react according to the natural man. Act means you react according to the new man. Amen. So we must every single day empty ourselves so that we can become like-minded. If you do not do that, the enemy will slowly creep in. You'll find yourself beginning to sway. You'll find that decisions that you're making are according to fear. Hello? Desires or lusts of the world, money. According to lusts of the world, like I said, or according to circumstances in your life that are self-pleasing or easy, instead of according to the mind of Christ. Is everybody with me? Oh, hallelujah. Go to Revelation chapter 2. I got an email that a sister in Christ who is a pastor, she's a pastor, right? Yeah. Who's been in ministry for a gazillion years, 30 years. She's a missionary in Africa, dealt with a lot of demonic forces and everything. Has written many books, about 120-something books or whatever, I don't know. But anyways, and she came and ministered at one of our services a while back. And about 2 weeks ago, I think it was, or 3 weeks ago, the Holy Spirit quickened me to start speaking about the falling away. And we got an email from her today, and we started talking about the end-time deceptions and so forth, and especially about the Da Vinci Code movie, where everybody, it's one of the great deceptions of end time, where people are going to it and trying to be deceived, you know, where the devil's trying to... I mean, even believers are going to it and getting an impartation of this ungodly video. And in her email, she was emailing many people, I'm sure, and in this email, she started to speak about, we're in the falling away. See, it's the same spirit. It's not about a person, it's about the spirit. And where the spirit begins to give us revelation of where we are. Because see, it is your responsibility to know what season and what time it is. It is your responsibility. Hello. That's where people misunderstand the scriptures. Even Jesus told them, you misinterpret the scriptures. You don't get it. He even told them, you search the scriptures thinking you have eternal life, but you won't come to me and get it. What was he trying to do? Remove them from the ladder and bring them into the relationship of the person. In the book of Revelation in chapter 2, would you read it with me? And to the angel of the church of Ephesus write, these things says he who holds the seven stars in his right hand, who walks in the midst of the seven golden lampstands, I know your works, your labor, your patience, and that you cannot bear those who are evil. And you have tested those who say they are apostles and are not, and have found them liars. And you have persevered and have patience and have labored for my namesake and have not become weary. Now, if God wrote you a letter like that, you would think, well, hallelujah, thank you, Lord. I mean, it sounds like the perfect place. It sounds like you're really doing the will of God all the way, man. Yeah, glory to God. He acknowledged me. All right. Then he stops for a moment and pauses. And he says, nevertheless, I have this against you. What do you mean you have this against me? You just said all of these things that were beautiful. They had to be according to your will. And he's saying, no, they weren't. No, they weren't. Yeah, I know. I saw that you had patience. You did your works. I know that you didn't put up with no garbage. I know you. But let me tell you something. That's not my perfect will for you. So this I have against you, that you've left your first love. You've left your first love. Now, he says this, he confirms what his first love is. Of course, he talks about himself as being his first love, doesn't he? But see, when we first come to the Lord in certain areas of our life, he begins to prepare us for something. So he allows this preparation to become part of him in this first love. See, sometimes we got to get right back to basics. You know what I'm saying? People go way astray. I mean, this church was doing wonderful things, but you know what? They went ahead of God. And they lost their first love. They were doing great things for God. But they lost their first love. And he says, remember, therefore, from where you have fallen, repent and do the first works. Or else I will come to you quickly and remove your lampstand from its place unless you repent. Now repent means to turn away and go back to where you have fallen. Has everybody got it? Go back and start all over. Go back. Do what you got to do to complete. Like I said, they were doing good. They were doing wonderful. But you know what? They were doing the good and acceptable will, but not the perfect will. They were doing the perfect, not doing the perfect will. But this you have, that you hate the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes, I will give to eat from the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. They were doing the good and acceptable will, but not the perfect will. They got ahead of God. They didn't complete what was given to them or perfect what was given to them. Is everybody with me? They thought everything was great. You know what they did? They misunderstood, didn't they? They misunderstood. They misunderstood. The first task that they were given was becoming aborted. Why? Because they were going ahead of God. They were willing to abort the first part. And the Lord said, hold on a minute. Hold on. You're aborting this. That's not come to pass yet. That's not come to birth yet. This whole thing that I've given you from the first love that I've imparted in you hasn't been fulfilled yet. Why are you going now? I see all the wonderful things that you're doing, but that's not my perfect will. My perfect will is to get back here and complete what I've given you so that it is perfected in you, so that I can prune you through this, you can bear more fruit for my glory. And he's saying, come back. Come back. Now that you're going ahead, it's causing, you are aborting the first thing that I've given you. Is everybody with me? You're aborting it. Go to Revelation 12. Oh, hallelujah. Starting at verse 1. Would you read it with me? Now a great sign appeared in the heaven, a woman clothed with the sun, the moon under her feet, and on her head a garland of 12 stars. Then being with child, she cried out in labor and in pain to give birth. And another sign appeared in heaven. Behold, a great fiery red dragon having 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 diadems on his heads. His tail drew a third of the stars of heaven and threw them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman who was ready to give birth to devour her child as soon as it was born. Now we know that this is talking about the Christ child coming into the earth. Amen? Remember, the book of Revelation is not just something that was or is to come. God's word is past, present, and future. So you've got to get in the spirit to understand where he's speaking and when. And in this scripture right here, he also speaks of the Israel. He speaks to the land of Israel as a representation, but he also speaks prophetically, which was that the Christ child will come into the world. Does everybody understand that? Okay, well, who was trying to devour the Christ child? The dragon. Amen? What was he trying to do? He was trying to abort God's will. Because Jesus was the perfect will of God, wasn't he? Does everybody understand this? He was the perfect will. Let me tell you something. In these last days, the perfect will of God has got to manifest in our life. That means there's only one choice that's correct. Not two, not three, not assume, not a maybe, not a this, not a that. There's one perfect choice. That's it. That's his perfect will. Amen? He came in to devour God's plan, the perfect plan, or the will of God. Go to John 10:10. Boy, it sure is quiet tonight. Is everybody okay? Come on, give me a hallelujah.
Hallelujah!
John 10:10. Would you read it with me? The thief does not come except to what? Steal, to kill, and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly, that he may give you life, not you give it yourself. That you don't go do and get the stuff of abundant life, but he gives it to you. Is everybody with me? Oh, hallelujah. The devil wants to spiritually abort God's perfect will with you. You know why this happens? Because their misunderstanding causes spiritual abortion. Misunderstanding causes spiritual abortion. We're going to talk about this. To abort is to cease or stop something that has already been planned. Spiritual abortion is to cease or prevent something heavenly ordained by God from passing through the chambers of time that connect the spiritual world to the natural world. And I will repeat this. Are you ready? Come on, get this now. Spiritual abortion is to cease or prevent something heavenly ordained by God from passing through the chambers of time that connect the spiritual world to the natural world, putting to death or diversion a predestined purpose of God's plans assigned to an individual. And I'll repeat that too. Glory to God. That's I'm telling you, to God be the glory. Listen. He's trying to put to death or a diversion a predestined purpose of God's plan, which is assigned to an individual or God's child. The devil doesn't want it birthed. He will do everything he can to prevent me and you from birthing the will of God. I'm talking the perfect will. Because see, the perfect will returns 100-fold. It's more devastating to the devil when the perfect will of God is manifested. That's like three different size grenades. You get a little firecracker. You get an M80. Or you get a Holy Ghost bazooka. So there's that three will of God. See, the devil doesn't want you to birth the perfect will of God because it's much more devastating to him. It wipes out much more of his kingdom. Oh, hallelujah. I'll say this one more time, what spiritual abortion is. I want to get this in your spirit. Spiritual abortion is to cease or prevent something heavenly ordained by God from passing through the chambers of time that connect the spiritual world to the natural world, putting to death or diversion a predestined purpose of God's plan assigned to an individual child of God. Devil doesn't want it birthed. Amen? Go to Proverbs 6. Oh, hallelujah. Now you got to remember something again, and we've repeated this over and over. When you make a move or make a decision, if it's birthed out of fear, hello? Anxiety, stress, whatever. If it's birthed out of anger or bitterness, if it's birthed out of finances, if anything that's associated or entangled with the affair of the world, what you're actually doing is against the will of God. Does everybody understand that? And you're losing the trust of God. What we're to be doing is gaining the trust of God, not losing it. Oh, you could be doing all these wonderful things. Just like what the book of Revelation talked about. They were doing wonderful things, weren't they? Listen, let me share something with you. Because we're going a little bit deeper here. We're going into another arena. Where darkness is being exposed. In the finest. Thin, linty, threaded areas of life. where the devil has been hiding in all kinds of places, and his kingdom has been hiding in all kinds of places. But light is getting stronger. The enemy is being exposed more, more, and more. That's why he's freaking out. That's why he's running around like a lion trying to devour whomever. He's wounded. He's trying to do everything. And now God is exposing in me, in you, in the body of Christ, because the Bible says judgment comes to the house of God first. He's exposing more and more the enemy's presence in our life, down to the finest thread. You'll see more and more. It's getting more, more, and more. One of the things we've talked about before, discernment is so important now. What's motivating your spirit? 2 million people just move instead of going to the spirit to find out what's motivating them to make this next decision. If you can't get to that place, God can't use you. Not in these last days. Oh, you think God will be using you in all kinds of areas. Well, let me tell you, I want him more. I want to be used more than God. It's just to plant a seed. I want to be used more than God just to tell somebody about Jesus. I want to get into a place where all parts of the kingdom of darkness are destroyed by his presence and his glory. That means that you and I must empty ourselves more. Decisions must be discerned by the Spirit of God by being like-minded and not misunderstood. Amen. Now, oh, hallelujah. Proverbs 6. Are we there? In verse 32. Would you read it with me? It says, whoever commits adultery with a woman lacks understanding. He who does so destroys his own soul. Now I want to explain something about the scripture. Commits adultery. Now it just doesn't mean with a woman or whatever. Does everybody understand it? It's anyone who commits adultery. Now adultery is association with tangible sin. It's a transgression, isn't it? Amen. Now adultery can be even more than that. We committed adultery when we worshipped Satan. Does everybody understand it? You know what? The drugs in my life, the alcohol in my life became my wife. I began to commit adultery with the powers of darkness because they became my first love. I began to walk away from my wife and my family and my children and everything. I was committing adultery. The Lord divorced Israel for committing adultery with the powers of darkness. What were they doing? They're going up in high places and worshiping sacrifices to demons, and he divorced them. So this act was impressed by the powers of darkness. Does everybody understand that? It says, now listen, whoever commits adultery with a woman or whatever lacks what? Understanding. So we must have understanding in this. So misunderstanding will produce spiritual abortion. Does everybody understand that? It doesn't allow the seed of purpose to mature or manifest. Doesn't allow the seed of purpose to mature or manifest. Think about what the devil's doing right now in the physical arena of aborting children. I think the United States is quite high in the world of abortion. Besides China, I think, is probably the worst. But abortion is actually killing the seed that could come forth from God, because the Bible says every child is a blessing from God, right? So this blessing, this seed that's come forth into the world, or attempting to come forth into the world, think about how many, you know, all the cells and whatever that always, I mean, there's a gillion cells, and only one makes contact with the egg. and it becomes a child. I mean, thousands and thousands go by that. And then where a woman conceives. And God chooses which one to come into the natural realm that it may become the righteous seed for his glory. But the devil is out destroying and killing and aborting these children before they are birthed, but they're alive. See, anything that comes from dad's alive. His plan is alive. Do you understand it? His perfect will is alive. It's not just something written on paper. It's not just something assumed or something thought of. His perfect will is life for me and you and for mankind. God is life, not death. The more his perfect will is manifested in an individual's life, the more lives will be rescued. Not through the individual, but through God. Amen? Oh, hallelujah. Go to Proverbs 21. Everybody okay? Hallelujah. Misunderstanding brings spiritual abortion. Verse 16, would you read it with me? A man who wanders from the way of understanding. So if you're wandering from the way of understanding, you're walking in a way of misunderstanding. Amen? Will rest where? In the assembly of the dead. Proverbs 21, verse 16. A man who wanders from the way of understanding will rest in the assembly of the dead. Wow. Or if someone who walks in misunderstanding will produce dead works. Go to Philippians 4. Hallelujah. Philippians chapter 4. Glory to God. In verse 4. Oh, hallelujah. It's good to hear the pages turning on a Tuesday night. It's Tuesday, right? Okay. In Philippians chapter 4 and verse 4, would you read it with me? Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice always. And let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is where? At hand. Now, this is very powerful. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. Man, we talked about this. Holy Ghost quickened us on some of this Saturday morning. And I want to share about this because it is important. This is life-changing. The peace of God, it says, that surpasses all understanding. In other words, decisions not made by calculations. Is everybody with me? Not decisions that are not made by calculations or reasoning. It's the peace of God that surpasses all understanding. That means there is no understanding. Now, wait a minute. I thought you said misunderstanding. No, no, no. You must understand that there is a place and position in the spirit where you don't get understanding and God doesn't allow you to have it. Because what he wants you to do is wait upon him. It's the peace that surpasses all understanding. Listen, if you're making your decision on your calculation, let's see, I'm running out of money. I got to do this. I got to do that. That's the wrong calculation. That's where you need to step out of every calculating circumstance of the world and call on the name of the above all names and wait and rest upon Him. See, it surpasses all understanding. Listen, I run a construction company and I don't even know how. Don't panic. But He does. I would have more trust in a company that was run by God than a man. Does everybody understand this? I mean, I'm excited. I have no... He causes us to get in a position where His peace will surpass all of your understanding. I get stuff come before me. I pray in the Holy Ghost. What's the bid? Larry come up to me and says, well, what are we going to bid on this? This. It's that peace that surpasses all understanding. Of course the devil hits us all the time. There are certain things that, you know, in the spirit, it's a total different arena. It's not the same reasoning in the natural realm. It's just not the same calculated in the natural realm. The Bible says that even though we walk in the natural realm, we don't live according to the natural realm. That's what makes me and you above the world, not to become a part of it. He said, don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that the peace of God will surpass all of your calculation and reasonings. So that you don't make decisions or move by what the world moves by, but you make your decisions by what God moves you by. It's a total different arena. Why? Because any other decision that's made by the world's calculations causes spiritual abortion because there's misunderstanding. And the devil just moved you out of God's perfect will. Every decision that is made, there's only one that's God's perfect will. Only one. The one that's God's perfect will is going to do the most damage to the powers of darkness and bring most glory to the kingdom of God. It may not seem it today, but as you see it, because it's the most powerful seed that God can give me and you, is His perfect will. Once God gives you that perfect will and you birth that perfect will, and see, you don't even know you're birthing it sometimes because you ain't calculating it. You ain't understanding it. You ain't figuring it out. Now let me share something with you, important. It doesn't mean that it gives you the right to just walk and find things falling into place. Oh, well, that's falling into place. It must be God. Oh, that's falling. Well, that must be God. Well, that's falling into place. Well, that must. No, because the devil can cause things to fall into place that can bring you false peace. Hello. The devil will cause things to fall right into place. Man, you get a phone call, you'll get this, you get... Let me tell you, the devil knows, he's as much a part of your life as God. Does everybody understand that? Except for God has dominion. But the devil's more active against you in every area, isn't he? Where God is trying to draw you, but the devil loves to push you. But we've been so accustomed for all these years we've been living in this world, shaking hands with the devil, dancing with him and everything else, that we become like-minded. Now we're coming out of it. And that like-mindedness of darkness still hinders us to where you and I make decisions according to the ways of a man's carnal thinking instead of according to ways of like-mindedness of Christ. And the devil knows exactly how to do that. So he puts things in the path. Oh yeah. Oh, must be God. It fell into place. I didn't even ask for it. Oh, what a blessing. Thank you, Lord. And you get blessed with this and you get blessed with that. And you're praising and worshiping God for everything that He's done for you. And it wasn't even God. And it wasn't God. Then you find out later, man, I don't get it. Lord, I prayed. And all of these things fell in the path. I knew it was You. But I don't know how I ended up here. He says, because it wasn't me. You didn't wait. You didn't check. You assumed. You didn't wait. You didn't check. You felt, you ran by your emotions and you ran by your desires. In fact, the answers that you got that you thought were for me was your own desire speaking to you and telling you it was God, and it wasn't. Hello? That's how people get in trouble. Hey, it may not be today. Watch 3 months from now. Oh, hallelujah. Is everybody okay? Praise God. Now, the peace of God that surpasses all understanding is decisions that are made by the carnal reason. Not understanding. This is misunderstanding, isn't it? Moving out of a place of position either by not waiting on God or continuing to do what you really believe is of God. Now let me share something with you. While you and I wait on God, it doesn't mean that we just sit there and twiddle our thumbs. It means we are waiting. We are ministering to Him. We are waiting on God. We're continuing to do. Remember the book in Revelation in chapter 2, they were doing things. But the problem is they began to do things, they lost the first thing they were supposed to do. So that was becoming aborted, wasn't it? The first mission wasn't even completed yet. And they're already going to the next one because they got moved by calculation. See, everybody can have peace if somebody comes before you with a big check. Whoo, yeah, glory. Whew, I got peace. You know what they just got peace? They can pay some bills. Thank you, Lord. I'll tithe this and I'll pay the rest. See, people can have peace even if that check came from a devil. See, I'm using this as an example of false peace. Because you know then the bill comes back again, doesn't it? And all of a sudden it's like, oh. But see, calculations and reasonings cause us to walk in the carnality mind. Where now, we lose what God has done. We don't go back to the first love that He's caused us to do to complete. You don't realize how many times He's positioned us. And we get moved by a carnal calculation. And we miss God's perfect will. I can't express you how much over and over and over that as a baby in Christ when I was a believer, not that I've grown that much. I'm still a baby. There isn't any grown people on this planet. But as my first beginning years of walking with the Lord, how the Lord emphasized, branded in me, guy, stay in position no matter what. No matter what. No matter what tries to move you, no matter what's going on, stay in position. Do you know, I'm still doing the first thing that God has called me to do since I've been a believer. Do I do other things too? Yes. But I'm still doing the first until He's released me. Does everybody understand that? Still doing the first thing. Oh, hallelujah. Moving out of place or position either by waiting on God or continue to do what you've already done, He will protect you and to complete the process. Just because it falls into place doesn't mean it's from God. Does everybody understand that? Come on, there's most probably 100% of us in there have seen things fall into place and go, man, this is God, glory to God, right? I didn't have to pray about this, nothing. Or something came through that I've been praying about and manifesting right here, glory to God. And then I've come to find out it wasn't God. Man, I've been praying about that car, I've been praying about that house, I've been praying about this husband, I've been praying about this wife, I've been praying about this job, I've been praying about this, I've been praying about that. And everything seems to be calculated. So it must be God. But it's not always God. It's not always God. Proverbs chapter 2. Oh, hallelujah. Is everybody okay? You know, when people come to the discipleship house, first thing the devil says, man, this ain't God. This ain't God, man. You got to cast on all that reasoning and calculation. And wait. And then you come to find out, man, that was God. Didn't feel like it. Didn't calculate it. Just doesn't make any sense. I can't understand it. Praise God. But you just knew that something in your spirit was saying, that's God. Stay. Proverbs chapter 2 and verse 6. Would you read it with me? Oh, hallelujah. We could read this whole chapter, but we won't. For the Lord gives wisdom. From His mouth come knowledge and what? Where does it come from? Hello, that means you got to what? Hear. Not assume. You got to what? Hear. For the Lord gives wisdom. From His mouth comes knowledge and understanding. He stores up sound wisdom for upright. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. He is a shield to those who walk uprightly. He guards the paths of justice and preserves the way of His saints. Is that you, His saints? Amen. Then you will what? Understand righteousness and justice, equity, and every good path. When wisdom enters your heart and knowledge is pleasant to your soul, discretion will preserve you, but what? Understanding will keep you. We must understand. Now, this may sound strange, but we must understand when we are misunderstanding. Hello? We must get the understanding that when we come to a place of misunderstanding, we wait. And we let the peace of God guard us. And it's not peace because you've got a big check or a big car or whatever. It's the peace because God is in it and nothing else. Oh, hallelujah. Understanding will what? Keep you. Go to Numbers 22. Hallelujah. Let's go to a couple examples here. Numbers 22. Let me tell you, you keep making your decisions on calculations. And you end up going in circles. It seems like you're not going anywhere. Numbers 22, starting at verse 1. Then the children of Israel moved and camped in the plains of Moab on the side of the Jordan across Jericho. Now Balak, the son of Zippor, saw all that Israel had done to the Amorites, and Moab was exceedingly afraid of the people because they were many. And Moab was sick with dread because of the children of Israel. So Moab said to the elders of Midian, now this company will lick up everything around us, as an ox licks up the grass of the field. And Balak the son of Zippor was king of the Moabites at that time. So Balak was the king there, and he was concerned about all the Israelites who were camping around, taking all of his land and so forth. Then he sent messengers to Balaam, the son of Beor at Bethor, which is near the river, and in the land of the sons of his people, to call him, saying, look, a people have come from Egypt. See, they cover the face of the earth and are settling next to me. Therefore, please come at once. curse this people for me, for they are too mighty for me. Perhaps I will be able to defeat them and drive them out of the land. For I know that he whom you bless is blessed, and he whom you curse is cursed. Why? Because he was a prophet of the Lord. But he played both sides. Now watch. So the elders of Moab and the elders of Midian departed with the diviner's fee in their hand. In other words, they were coming with money, which they used to pay to the divination or the mediums and the psychics and stuff like that. So they were carrying the same amount of money to bring it to Balaam. Oh, and they spoke the words to Balak, and words of Balak. And he said to them, "Lodge here tonight, and I'll bring back word to you as the Lord speaks to me." So the princes of Moab stayed with Balaam. Now Balaam was the prophet of God, right? So they showed up to give him some cash, the same thing they would pay a medium or soothsayer. So Balaam says, "Okay, let me check out. Let me go to sleep tonight, and I'll tell you what the Lord says." So God said to Balaam in verse 12, "You shall not go with them. You shall not curse the people, for they are blessed." So Balaam rose in the morning and said to the princes of Balak, "Go back to your land. The Lord has refused to give me permission to go with you." In other words, to go with you to curse Israel. Hello. Then the princes of Moab rose and went to Balak and said, "Balaam refuses to come with us." Then Balak again sent princes more numerous, more honorable than they. In other words, they were coming with higher cash. Hello? More higher ranking individuals. Come on, Balaam. Hallelujah. And the princes rose and, okay. Now, in verse 16, "And it came to Balaam and said to him, 'Thus says Balak, the son of Zippor, please let nothing hinder you from coming to me, for I will certainly honor you greatly.'" Chick-ching. "And I will do whatever you say to me. Therefore, please come, curse this people for me." Then Balaam answered and said to the servants of Balak, "Though Balak were to give me his house full of silver and gold," he's getting religious now, "I could not go beyond the word of the Lord my God." Now you got to understand, he said, "the Lord my God." So he was one of the Lord's servants, wasn't he? "To do less or more." So what should he have done? Send them on their way. See ya. You know what he says? "Now therefore, please," he says to them, "please, you also stay here tonight, that I may know what more the Lord will say to me." What was he trying to do? He was assuming, he's thinking, let's see, well, maybe the Lord will change his mind. Okay, well, you know, if things fall into place, then it must be God. Hello? If things fall into place, it just must be God. So what happens? "Then God came to Balaam at night and said to him, 'If the men came to call you, rise and go with them, but only the word which I speak to you that you shall do.' So Balaam rose in the morning, saddled his donkey, and went with the princes of Moab. Then God's anger was aroused because he what? Because he went." Does everybody understand that? Yeah, I got to listen now. This was a man that was close to God. He heard God's voice, didn't he? He knew what the Lord told him in the beginning. He went and inquired of the Lord that told him what to do. He told them what the Lord told him to do. But then he said, well, maybe God will change his mind. See, the closer you get to God, sometimes there isn't a second voice. Sometimes there's only the first voice. So, then they assumed, didn't they? So he assumed. And he said, well, you know, okay, so this, if it falls in a place, it just must be God. And the Lord even told him, so he inquired of the Lord again. He says, "What's up, Dad? Come on, tell me what's going on." He said, "Why don't you just go on with him?" So he said, okay. And he got all donkeyed up and everything and said, "Let's go." And he was ching, yeah. Gonna collect some money now. I'm going to go out there and curse the Israelites that are my brethren, who are the apple of my God's eye. I'm going to go out and do this, and I'm going to get paid for doing it. Hallelujah. Well, God got angry and sent an angel to kill him. And he spared him. And I'm not going to go into the rest of the story. You can read it on your own. So, he heard from his mouth, right? The Lord spoke to him. Is everybody with me? Now, look at, we already did it in verse 19. He was hoping God would change his mind or change the will or the plan of God. That's what he was hoping. Well, if it fits, it falls into place, it just must be God. But it wasn't God, was it? Now, I'm not saying that those things can't happen. Do you understand that? But I'm telling you that we're in a time right now where the devil is causing things to fall into place to get God's people out of... You know why? Because they're not waiting. They're not completing, fulfilling what God asked them to first do. Moving right out of position. The enemy will always try to put things in place to make it look good. Look at Saul, Acts chapter 9. Is everybody okay? Think about all the things that we've fallen in the trap of the enemy, thinking it was God, and all the things were falling into place. Man, everything's falling into place, and then it wasn't really God, and we got ourselves in trouble. Hallelujah. Now, verse 1, this is very powerful. Then Saul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and asked letters from him to the synagogues of Damascus, so that if he found any who were of the way, whether men or women or children, which is not in there, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. In other words, Saul went out to the high priest to get permission to kill believers. It all seemed to fall into place. They agreed. He believed he was doing the will of God. Is everybody with me? He truly believed that he was doing the will of God. Now, as he journeyed, he came to Damascus, and suddenly a light shone around him from heaven. Then it fell to the ground, and he heard a voice saying to him. He did what? He heard a voice saying to him, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And he said, Who are you, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom you persecuting. It is hard for you to kick against the goads. So he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what do you want me to do? What happened? He asked, what do you want me to do? When he what? Heard his voice. Other than that, he was walking in assumption. He was walking with misunderstanding, thinking that he was actually doing the will of God because everything was falling into place. But it wasn't God. It was the devil. He had signed statements and stuff saying, listen, man, you got permission from the high priest to go out and kill all the believers. Yeah. I'm somebody. I'm doing it for God. He wasn't. Then the Lord slammed him, gave him a Holy Ghost bazooka kick to the head. Fell off his horse. Laid there. Like a bonehead. And God spoke to him. Whoop. You know what? God's voice changed the whole course, didn't it? Because he what? Heard him. The assuming days for Saul were now over with. Paul became a non-assumer. He became a waiter. He didn't start his full ministry till 14 years later. He learned God's voice. Oh, hallelujah. His voice changed his course. Go to 2 Samuel 11. Hey, let me tell you something. This is some deep stuff. We really must start getting more discernment in these areas. 2 Samuel 11, would you read it with me, starting at verse 1? It happened in the spring of the year, at the time when the kings go out to battle, that David sent Joab and his servants with him, and all Israel, and they destroyed the people of Ammon and besieged Rabbah. But David remained at Jerusalem. So David chose to stay behind when he was supposed to go out there. He said, and all the kings went out. So, you know, he was just hanging out. And yeah, they won the battle, right? Okay, which was God's will. But it wasn't God's will for David to stay behind. It was God's will for David to be out in the battle. Watch what happens. Then it happened one evening that David arose from his bed and walked on the roof of the king's house. And from the roof he saw a woman bathing, and the woman was very beautiful to behold. Well, since I stayed in, I'll just wake up in the middle of the night. I'll walk on the roof. Whoa, there's a woman bathing. It must be God's will. It just fell into place. God must have woke me up, kept me from going out to the battle, just so I could watch this naked woman who is married. This has got to be God's will. Look at this, falling right into place. What a God I serve. So David sent and inquired about the woman, and someone said, is this not Bathsheba, the daughter of Elmon, the wife of Uriah the Hittite? Uriah was David's right-hand man. And David sent messengers and took her. Must have been God's will. Fell right into place. And she came, and he lay with her, for she was cleansed from her impurity, and she returned to her house, and a woman conceives. So she sent and told David and said, I am with child. And David sent to Joab, saying, send me Uriah the Hittite. And Joab sent Uriah to David. Then David sent Uriah out to get killed in the war, that in the battle that they were, so he could have his wife. Now, then the Lord sent word from his prophet to David. Remember, when you hear the voice of God, then David repented and changed course. But the Lord said, listen, I'm not going to kill you, because I saw your humbled heart. But I'm telling you, everything that you thought was me wasn't me, even though it seemed to fall into place. But you're going to lose that child she's conceived. You will never rest again. You will be at war continuously. And a curse will come your family line. And the rest of his sons fell into fornication from that part time on. Till Jesus came and broke the curse. Glory to God. Now, he thought he was doing the will of God, didn't he? Hello. Go to Job chapter 1. Hallelujah. Job chapter 1. Well, I was walking on the street and there was a cigarette on the floor lit. It must be God. Yeah, somebody threw out a bag of dope right into my car. I started saying, hallelujah. Must have been God. So I drove to the store, had no problem, bought a pipe. It must have been God. Everything fell into place. Smoked it, lost my family, my wife, my children, my job, ended up in jail. I guess it wasn't God. In Job chapter 1 and verse 6. Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord. The sons of God were the angels. And Satan also came among them. And the Lord said to Satan, from where do you come? And so Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro on the earth and from walking back and forth on it. Then the Lord said to Satan, have you considered my servant Job? God was setting Job up. That there is none like him on the earth, a blameless and upright man, one who fears God and shuns evil. See, Job had peace that surpassed all understanding. He understood the peace of God that surpassed all understanding. No matter what happened to Job, he wasn't falling for it. Because see, Job heard the voice of God. So Satan answered the Lord and said, does Job fear God for nothing? Have you not made a hedge around him, around his household, and around all that he has ever on every side? And have you not blessed the work of his hands, and his possessions have increased in the land? In other words, he was one of the wealthiest men on the earth. But now stretch out your hand and touch all that he has, and he will surely curse you to your face. And the Lord said to Satan, go for it. Behold, all that he has is in your power, only do not lay a hand on his person. So Satan went out from the presence of the Lord and began to kick Job's butt. Now there was a day when his sons and daughters were eating and drinking wine in their oldest brother's house, and a messenger came to Job and said, the oxen were plowing and the donkeys feeding beside them when the Sabians raided them and took them away. Now understand that Job's protection was because he sacrificed these animals every day to the Lord. Why? Because the blood protects. So Satan, first of all, took the animal away so that there was no more sacrificial protection. And while he was still speaking, another also came and said, the fire of God fell from heaven and burned up the sheep and the servants and consumed them, and I alone have escaped to tell you. While he was still speaking, another also came and said, the Chaldeans formed three bands, raided the camels and took them away, yes, and killed the servants and the edge of the sword, and I alone have escaped to tell you. While he was still speaking, another also came and said, your sons and your daughters were eating and drinking wine in their oldest brother's house, and suddenly a great wind came from across the wilderness and struck the four corners of the house, and it fell on the young people, and they are dead, and I alone have escaped to tell you. Then Job arose, tore his robe, shaved his head, and fell to the ground and worshipped. Most people would have cursed God. And he said, naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked shall I return there. The Lord gave and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And all this, Job did not sin nor charge God with any of this. In fact, even Job's wife said, man, why don't you just curse God and die? He says, no. See, the peace of God surpassed all understanding in Job's life because he knew the voice of God. Is everybody with me? I mean, come on, think about it. Job had a lot of calculations that he could have gone into. In fact, there was three friends that he was debating with that are always trying to bring him into the natural calculations. And Job kept going, nope, 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 nope. But everything that happened, Job did not curse God. He stayed because the peace of God surpassed all Job's carnal understanding. He knew he was not. Listen, Job could not understand why all this was happening. He was an upright, perfect man. Why is this happening to me? But you know what? Because he knew God sat on the throne and had the last say. Let me tell you something. That was the hardest blow to the devil besides the crucifixion. God wants to use you so that his peace can surpass all understanding of your carnal understanding, so that you won't do something stupid or make wrong calculations when the devil begins to fall, pull things into place or torment you or whatever, that you'll stand strong with God, because the devil hates that. He hates uprightness. He hates those who love the Lord. He wants to always convince an individual to turn away from God. Well, things just ain't going my way. Oh, well, you know. Those are calculations. Don't calculate nothing. Nothing. Proverbs 3. We're almost done. Praise God. Hallelujah. Proverbs chapter 3. Would you read verse 5 with me? Hallelujah. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all of your ways acknowledge Him and He shall what? Direct your path. Don't be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. Be health to your flesh and strength to your bones. Honor the Lord with your possessions. Ooh, there's so many that don't get understanding with that yet. And with the first fruits of all your increase, so your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. Don't lean on your own understanding. Let me tell you another servant who had peace that surpasses an understanding. That was Joseph. You can read about it in Genesis 37. Joseph was a young child. He was Jacob's son. Many brothers. Joseph was the baby of the family, and Jacob loved him the most. And he made him a special cloak, coat-like, you know. It said Jesus reigns on it. Yeah. Anyways, he had a dream when he was younger, and he began to tell his father and told his brothers, and it was about... Actually, the understanding of the dream was that all his brothers and his father were going to bow before him, but he didn't understand it, and they all got upset with him. So anyways, Joseph went out, his brothers were out there, and they're all feeding the sheep and grazing in another area, and Joseph went out with food. He was sent by his father Jacob, and they hated him. And they took Joseph, and they sold him. And they killed one of the sheep, and rubbed it in his coat and made his father believe that he had been eaten by a wild animal. Anyways, Joseph went through hell. He was sold as a slave, went from one place to another, ended up in Egypt, was put in prison, was accused of adultery with a high-ranking official of Egypt, which he didn't do anything. But you know what? Joseph, the peace of God surpassed all understanding. He just went for it no matter what he did because he trusted God. Whatever he touched was blessed. Anyways, he ended up, at the end of all of those 14 years, he ended up getting a position in Egypt as one of the head ruling individuals of Egypt right next to Pharaoh. Pharaoh gave him authority, and God ended up using him to rescue all the Hebrews because there was a great famine. See, sometimes things just don't make sense. As God is bringing you through stuff, just to strategically position you. But the enemy will try to deter you by making things fall right into place and you thinking it's God when you haven't heard God. See, Joseph heard the voice of God. It kept him in the peace of God at all times. Does everybody understand it? That's why I was able to interpret dreams and everything else. God was using him. Oh, hallelujah. Proverbs 1. And then one more scripture. Proverbs chapter 1. And verse 5. Would you read it with me? A wise man will what? Hear. Say it again. A wise man will hear and increase learning. And a man of understanding will attain wise counsel. God causes us to get counsel when understanding is not reached. Is everybody with me? He'll cause you to get counsel when understanding is not reached. One morning I was praying and he said, God, I want you to go see a prophet. I thought, why do I need to go see a prophet? I hear your voice. He said, because I want you to be more involved and understand what's going on. So I said, okay. So I went to see the prophet. Of course, this prophet pulled me out. And I was getting ready to do one of my first outreaches on Mercy Drive. We're all drug addicts and whatever. At that period of time, I was very heavy into drugs. And so the prophet stood up and called me out and said all these things and shared with me about what I was about to do and doing the worship services and so forth and whatever. But see, I didn't understand why God wanted me to go, and I didn't question it. But the peace of God that surpassed all understanding, I obeyed and went. My question was to him, well, Lord, why do I need to listen to a prophet when I can hear your voice? He said, because I want you to be more involved in the body. Because he had me aside for a period of time. Then it was time for me to get more involved. And as I began to get more involved, I began to see more and more things. See, I first didn't understand why so many people, the body of Christ, need to be ministered to. I didn't understand that. And he began to teach me and share with me certain things. Because I thought everybody got, when you became a Christian, you got delivered, healed, and it was all over with. I thought, why is everybody going to church for this? And I'm like, come on, we need to go out and get some people that really need it. Come to find out, most of the body of Christ needed it. Isaiah 40, and we'll close here. One of the reasons is because they had misunderstanding. Oh, hallelujah, Isaiah 40. Let's read this together, please. And we'll close here. So God causes us to get counsel when understanding is not reached. The Bible says that God's understanding is unsearchable. In other words, it's sometimes it's just, you just can't touch it. It's too profound. You know what I'm saying? It's just too profound. You can't touch God's understanding. It's, you know, if you touch it, you'd blow up. You just can't touch some things of God's understanding. So this is where you just got to walk in the peace of God that surpasses all understanding. If you're still walking on the calculating agenda of the world, you're not walking in God's will. Hallelujah. Isaiah 40 and verse 28. Would you read it with me? Start there anyways. Have you not known? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, neither faints nor is weary. His understanding is what? Unsearchable. He gives power to the weak, and to those who have no might, he increases strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But those who what? Wait. Say that again. Those who what? Wait. On the Lord shall what? Renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles, and they shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. That means not fall, not go back. Oh, don't be Mr. and Mrs. Figure it out. Amen? Don't be, you know, don't change your name to Colonel Understanding. Mr. Calculation, you know? Come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. In everything. Everything. Cry out for understanding. Cry out for discernment. And when you're not understanding something, wait on God so the peace of God comes and carries you. Everything that surpasses all understanding as you wait on Him. Don't fall in the trap of everything falls into place, it's God, because it's not always God. Amen? I'm not saying that it can't be, but I'm saying that the devil causes things to fall into place too. Amen? Father, we thank you for your word and for exposing the enemy's tactics. We ask, Lord, in the mighty name of Jesus, that you would increase our understanding. That you'd increase our discernment, Lord. That we would be able to wait upon you in everything. And as we wait upon you, Lord, I ask that you'll reward your people for waiting on you, Lord. That you'll shut the doors that are not and open doors that are. And Lord, when the devil opens a door that's of him, Lord, cause that wait to come. That you may be glorified and that child of the Most High God would be rescued in Jesus' name.